We're continuing our thoughts in the book of Romans, and in chapter 8, I want to read verses 4 through 9 this morning and cover these verses the best we can and see what the Lord has for us to encourage us. Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Again, I want to remind us that Romans is written to believers. He's not talking to lost people or to people that are unsaved, to help them to find out how to be saved. So he's not talking about those that are not saved, not walking by the Spirit, but in the flesh. He is addressing saved people and warning us that to walk in the flesh means that you're not going to please God, and you cannot, it is impossible to do. So this is a warning to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and want to stand in His presence and hear a well done. So in Romans chapter 8 verse 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after flesh. The word "the" is not there in the Greek text, but after Spirit. And the word "spirit," the definite article "the" is not before the word "spirit." This is to me, this is a difficult thing to do, because I know what people think as they read this verse. They think that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, and I do think that the Holy Spirit is active in the believers' heart and mind. But when I think about walking according to Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to relate to that from a spiritual perspective. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and I can read the Bible and respond to the truths that are in the Bible, and maybe that would apply to walking according to the Holy Spirit. Read the book, see what it says to do, and do it. But this is talking about, I believe, a contrast between walking in the flesh and walking with a mindset of pleasing God. Now, I know the Holy Spirit wants that to happen. And I know that there are times when I'm very aware of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my own heart and life, and I've known in the past conviction of sin, and as I'm sure that you have too. And I know that pouring over the Scriptures and waiting upon God and praying, that it's the Holy Spirit that brings things to mind. And so when He does, I go look at it. So I do know that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance things that that I have put in my mind, and He can't bring things to remembrance that you haven't put there at one time or another. So I look at these passages, the Spirit in these passages, having to do with the Spirit of His Son, that is, crying Abba, Father, a submissive spirit, rather than the Holy Spirit. And that's just where I am, and you know, and I'm Let me put it this way. I'm willing to change, but right now I can't do anything but present it like I feel like the Lord has given it to me. So when it says, in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk present active, not after or according to spirit or to flesh, but after or according to spirit. And I believe this spirit, in the context of Romans 8, is the Abba spirit of verse 15 of Romans 8, as well as the Abba spirit of Mark 14:36. Now it's interesting here that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And for that to happen, we cannot be walking after the things of the flesh. You walk after the things of the flesh, you're doing it your way. You're doing your own thing. You're satisfying your own desires and plans and purposes. And the word righteousness in this verse is interesting. It's the same word righteousness is found in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. And I don't have that verse in our notes, but it's a reference to the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints have to do with the garment of the bride. So when it says here, in order that the righteousnesses, or the righteousness, singular, these are equitable deeds. This is behavior. This is walk. And might be fulfilled in us who are walking not after fleshly things, but after spiritual things. When I think about Zacharias and Elizabeth, we've been over this verse so many times. I don't want to bore you with it, but it says that they were both just before God, walking present middle. The middle voice means for themselves. They were doing this for themselves. Why? Because they wanted to please God. Not that they were in the flesh, but they wanted to please God. In all the commandments and ordinances. The word ordinances is the same Greek word as in Romans 8:4. It's translated righteousness or equitable deeds. They walked present middle in all the commandments and the righteous deeds of the law blameless. In other words, they lived it. They practiced it. They just didn't believe it. You know, you can believe something and not do anything about it. But Zacharias and Elizabeth, they not only believed it, they practiced it. I think that the latter part of verse 4 of Romans 8 extends the keeping of the righteousness of the law beyond just the duty to do. You know, Luke 17:10 says, "So likewise ye," and he's talking to his disciples, "when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which is our duty to do." When I think about doing all those things that are commanded you, you're just. But let me say this. You can do those things that are commanded you, but not do them in the right spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Just like the little boy that was standing up in the front seat and his daddy said, "Sit down." And he didn't do it. And so his daddy says, "Sit down, son." And he wouldn't do it. So his dad reached over and grabbed him by the arm and he set him down on the seat. And he told his daddy, he says, "I'm sitting down, but on the inside I'm standing up." Sometimes we obey the law standing up. We don't like it, but we do it. Now, that doesn't honor anybody. So when I think about doing that which is our duty to do, we need to do more than just simply obey every commandment, or to obey the commandments of the Lord. In fact, I used Romans 12:11, where it says, "Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." I think there needs to be zeal and excitement and purpose in being obedient to the commandments. They were doing it for themselves, Elizabeth and Zechariah. They weren't doing it because God demanded it of him, though he did. Okay? He did demand obedience to the law. But they were doing it in the middle voice for themselves. And when it says, "Be not slothful in business," the word "business" should be translated "diligence." Be not slothful. Don't be lazy in diligence. Fervent, present active, in spirit. Now, this is not in the Holy Spirit. This has to do with the spirit of the individual. In serving the Lord, present active. And so when I think about the righteousness of the law being fulfilled in us, it's those who do it willingly and with spirit, a fervent spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it's walking according to the Spirit. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's part of the Spirit, that we are to demonstrate in our life. And that should be demonstrated in our life, particularly the Abba Spirit of Romans 8:15, is twofold. Could be threefold, but twofold. "All things are possible unto thee." That's confidence in our God, that he can do anything he wants to. And he can do it anytime he wants to. And he can do it for whomsoever he wants. And then the other part is, "Not what I will," and then, "but what thou wilt." Submission to his will. And that's, and when we live that way, we're going to fulfill the righteousness of the law. We're going to be just. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "For they that are after or according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit," or according to the Spirit, "do mind the things of the Spirit." And I associate this not with the Holy Spirit, but with the Abba Spirit. And that is doing the will of the Father. Paul's passion is in Philippians chapter 3. He was minding the things of the Spirit. By the way, the word "do mind" is in the present tense. And it applies both to the flesh and to spirit. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the out resurrection from among the dead." Paul's passion after the things of spirit is knowing the Lord and the power of his resurrection, that is the high priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to experience that power. He wanted to be able to endure the fellowship of his suffering. "You press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus," and you know what? You're going to receive persecution. But he says, "being made conformable unto his death." This "conformable unto his death," I don't believe has a reference to the crucifixion. This has a reference to him dying to self. Christ died to self. "Not my will, but thine be done." And that's part of the fellowship that we have, is submission to him. Living in an Abba Spirit. And because Paul desired to attain, and this is subjunctive. He might not attain it, and he might. Now, this is not talking about the resurrection of the body, because the body's going to be raised from the dead. Every body's going to be raised from the dead. whether they're saved or whether they're not saved. The unsaved will be raised and judged at the great white throne judgment. So that means they have to come up. They have to come out. But Paul is talking about a different resurrection. He's talking about a resurrection that has to do with a promotion, an out resurrection, a resurrection that is above others that have perished. And that's what I believe that this is a reference to. And then in verse 13 and 14, which I've already basically quoted, is that, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We need that spirit. We need that purpose. We need that dedication and consecration in our life of doing the things that please the Lord. In Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You live trying to or live in the spirit of the Abba spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when you're living in the spirit, you need to be looking for certain evidences, and that's the only thing that I can present to you. This is not talking about some mystical thing. This is talking about an experiential thing. And I think the only way that we can determine whether we're walking in the Spirit is by evidence in our life. I don't think anybody needs to prove to you when you're walking in the flesh, do they? When you're satisfying the flesh, does anyone have to prove it to you? It's not just mental gymnastics, even though that you can mentally be in the flesh. But usually when you are thinking, will one day become reality in activity. And you know it. So this is not a spiritual thing. This is not a mystical thing. And the evidence of us walking in the Abba Spirit, I believe, is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Abba Spirit," a submissive spirit, "is love, joy, love for others, joy that you can share with others, and joy that you have for yourself, peace." You don't have to come unglued when things change in your life that you can't do anything about. You can have peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. These are all evidences that we are walking in the Abba Spirit. And so when we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit," what are they minding? They're minding love, joy, peace, long-suffering. They're loving, or they're desiring to do the will of the Father. They're desiring to know Him. They're desiring to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And forgetting those things which are past. You know, it's amazing how people continue to draw up history. And you know what? That history can defeat you if you don't use it the right way. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "For the carnally minded," "to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And the word "carnally" has to do with the flesh. In other words, to be in the flesh is to mind, or to have the mindset of the flesh is to perish. Now, a lot of people will apply this to physical death. But there are a lot of people who are living in the flesh that aren't dying physically. And there are a lot of people that are Christians living in the flesh that aren't dying physically. Now, there are some that do. Now, this is not a scriptural thought, but this is a thought that I had. and I'll just share it with you. I've known a lot of Christians that have, I've known some Christians that have come to the knowledge of the truth and haven't lived up to the standards established by the knowledge of the truth. And they begin to live in the flesh. You know what? They're not dying. They're not dying physically. And you know why I don't think they're dying physically? Very quickly, I mean eventually they will, is this. The Lord's given us 70 and by strength 80. And if because they're living in the flesh and they're have forsaken the Lord at say 35, and the Lord gives them a little time to quit, you know, change, and at 40 He takes them. I think that what's happening is this. All they have is 80 maximum. You know, that's what the Lord said. And they're going to miss out on the millennial reign of Christ. The Lord just lets them live as long as because all they have is what they got right now. If you understand what I'm saying? All they have is right now. They have lost ruling and reigning in the kingdom. And so the Lord allows them to live many years, even though they have forsaken the truth. That's just a thought that's crossed my mind. But anyway, to be carnally minded is to perish, to lose honor and glory in the coming kingdom. But to be spiritually minded is life in the kingdom and peace now. We're not, in other words, this hasn't anything to do with being born from above. In other words, you don't become spiritually minded and then that means you're saved. This has to do with life in the kingdom and peace in your walk with the Lord today. Be reminded, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, present active, that shall he also reap. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the fact, you know, what I sow is what I want to reap. If I want to sow to the things of the flesh, I'm going to reap the things of the flesh. If I sow to the things of the Spirit, I'm going to reap something I want. A lot of times you sow in a field and you got to go out and chop the weeds because they're going to grow by themselves. And the point is this, you sow what you want. And I want to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, so I'm going to sow to spiritual things. I'm going to sow to the things of the Abba Spirit. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to love you. And if I have joy, I'm going to share it with you. And peace, I'm going to share that with you as well. In other words, the fruits of the Abba Spirit, I want you to enjoy them from me. Okay? For he that soweth, present active, to the carnal mind, to his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. And this word corruption is also translated to perish. It's not apolumai, but it's also translated perish, or ruin. You sow to the flesh, you're going to be ruined. You're not going to have anything but weeds. And the fruits of weeds at the judgment seat of Christ. Nothing is going to stand the test. So, I don't want to sow to the flesh because I'm going to reap corruption or ruin or I'm going to perish. But he that soweth to the Abba Spirit shall of the Abba Spirit reap or harvest everlasting or age-lasting life. You sow to the things of the Spirit, the Abba Spirit, you sow to love and joy and peace, you know what? You're going to reap that. Because if you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ and you hear Him say, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness," there's not going to be any joy, no peace, no excitement, no rejoicing over that. But I want that when I stand in His presence. And you know what? I can become weary in well-doing. I can quit. Verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What are we going to reap? Life of the age, ruling and reigning with Christ. What happens if I grow faint and quit? I lose it. I lose the crop. I lose it. And I don't want to lose the privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be sowing to the things of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Abba Spirit. The Spirit that I can relate to, that I can get a hold of. Because I know what it means to have joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and meekness. I know what it means, though I may not practice it very well sometimes. Temperance. Self-control. What I'm talking about is the dinner table or the cookie jar. Sometimes I don't exercise a discipline too well over the cookie jar, especially if I'm not eating as soon as I need to, or as I think I do. But anyway, those are things that I can relate to and that I can grasp. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I know when the Holy Spirit is dealing with me, when He is teaching me, when He is convicting me of sin. He brings things to remembrance, because the verse of Scripture will come to mind. Another verse of Scripture will come to mind. I write it down, look it up. I can tell when He's talking to me. Not that I'm somebody special, because He'll do it to everyone. But He does know that I have a desire on Sunday morning. You know what that desire is? I want to be as the cold of snow in the time of harvest. To whom? To the Lord. I want to serve ice water in heaven. I want to refresh those who have sent me. And I want to be faithful in giving the message that He has given me. And so therefore, He knows what my responsibility is. And sometimes He gives me the message early in the week, and sometimes it's in the last half hour of Sunday morning. But you know what? He's always faithful. He's been faithful. So I'm not going to faint. Now, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. You carnally minded? If I'm carnally minded, you know what I'm doing? I'm living a lawless life. Carnality is lawlessness. Because that's what it says. It is not subject to the law of God. If you're not subject to the law of God, you're living in lawlessness. God has no control. When the flesh is in control, God's not in control. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve money and God. You can use money, but if you've got too much of it, you become its servant. Okay? Now, and you're not subject to the law? Indeed, cannot be. Present passive. You won't be subject to it, present passive, and if you have a carnal mind. What does it mean to despise, to not be subject to the law of God? It means you despise it. Proverbs 13:13, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Hey, you know what? I want God's blessing. I want His reward. Numbers 15:30-31, and that soul that doth aught presumptuously, in other words, a presumptuous sin, a sin of high hand. You see people going around in rebellion, you know, these riots. You don't see them doing this, do you? They're shaking their fists in the face of authority. And when we sin presumptuously, you know what we're doing? We're shaking our fists in the face of God. And we may not do it physically, but He can see it in our hearts. He knows when we're doing it. And this, of course, is Old Testament. It applies not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Whether he born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall be cut off, utterly cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. In other words, he will not come back into the camp. Just like Miriam. Miriam was excluded from the camp 7 days. 7,000 years. Why? Because she spoke against the teacher of the nation of Israel. The same thing about teaching against the Holy Spirit. You won't be pardoned from that sin until after the millennium. And but anyway, sinning with pride. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, that is just about as emphatic as you can get it. You're in the flesh, you're serving the flesh, you cannot please God. What does that mean? You can't live by faith. Because it's by faith that we please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And if you can notice, all the present tenses in this particular verse means that there's got to be faithfulness in coming, faithfulness in diligence, faithfulness in seeking. That's what faith is all about. Faithfulness in coming, diligently seeking, that is living by faith. And we're not entangled in the affairs of this life. To live by the faith in the flesh is to get entangled, or to be tangled in the affairs of this life. That has to do with politics. That has to do with social issues. Just let them be, and serve the Lord and be a witness and testimony for Him. Now, Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, or in flesh, but in spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Well, obviously, we know that we're still in the flesh. If you don't believe that, just pinch yourself. That'll just sure let you know that you're in the flesh. So this is not talking about that kind of relationship. It is saying, we're not in the flesh if certain conditions exist. That's what it's saying. You're not in the flesh. And by the way, I think it would be better. It gives a little different view of this verse. But it says, but ye endure not in the flesh. You can translate the word, IME, present active, is endure. You cannot endure and live in the flesh. There's no strength. There's no power. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. If you're in the flesh, you can't get grace, because there is no faith. And so therefore, if you're trying to endure in the flesh, you're not going to make it. You're going to faint, and you're going to quit. And you're not going to reap life for the age. But if we're in the spirit of, but in the Abba spirit, we will endure. Because that gives us incentive. That gives us reason. If we're living in the submissive spirit to the Lord, then we will endure. And it says, if so be, and the word spirit doesn't have the definite article before it, if so be, Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay. This Spirit of God dwelling in us is present active. Continually dwelling. And this is a conditional clause. Now, some people will say this is a first class conditional, that the Spirit does dwell in every one of us. That is, if we take the Spirit of God, or Spirit of God, as the Holy Spirit. I personally do not take this Spirit as the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you the reason why. Let me acknowledge this, okay? Let me make this acknowledgement. And I'm skipping down in the outline to Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons or devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now this, I believe, is a reference to the power of the Holy Spirit. But this would mean here, if the Holy Spirit is indwelling me, that all saved people do not have any trouble with the flesh. All saved people do not live carnal lives. And that you will endure apart from the living in the flesh. What this is talking about is found in 1 Corinthians 7:40. It says here in 1 Corinthians 7:40, but she is happier if she so abide. Now he's talking about a woman who has lost her husband or has been divorced by her husband. He is telling the church at Corinth, it's better that she abide single. That's what he says. It's better for her to abide single after my judgment. And Paul says, this is my judgment on this. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of God is a reference to the Holy Spirit, what's Paul thinking? Why is Paul thinking he has the Holy Ghost? Every child of God is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So this is not a reference to thinking of Paul saying, you know, I'm really not sure that I got the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is, I have the mind of God on this. This is the mind of God about women remaining single, and I think it applies to men. And I think that that's what it's talking about in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We won't endure by means of the flesh, but by means of the Abba Spirit. If so be that the Spirit or the mind of God dwells in us, if we're thinking like God thinks, we're applying the Scripture like God applies the Scripture, we're going to endure. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led, present active, by Spirit of God, they are being the sons of God. If you're being led by the mind of Christ or the mind of God, you're living like a son. And that's what it means to be led of the Spirit of God. Now, I think what we're going to do is shut down our study this morning by just closing with the latter part of verse 9 of Romans 8. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Spirit of Christ, I believe, has the same thing to do with the mind of Christ. And that's what the rest of the outline is dealing with. Is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You have the mindset of Christ. You need the mindset of God, and Christ had the mindset of God, and we need the mindset of God. And if we will, we'll be renewing our mind, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. You do that, and you're going to be approved. You're going to rule and reign with Christ. So we need the mindset of Christ as well as the mindset of God mindset of God also. Father, I just pray that you would help us to see the value of living our life in such a way that we're submissive to you and not to our flesh. We know that if we live in the flesh, we can't please you. If we live in the flesh, we're lawless, not subject to the law of God, and we can't please you, therefore we can't live by faith, and we will not endure without faith and grace. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us the Spirit of God when it comes to choices that we make, that we might honor Thee with our lives, with our thoughts, with our hearts, that one day we will stand in your presence and hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.